And on Wednesday nights, Johnny, the title of the message today is, What is Jesus Doing Today? What is Jesus doing today? But I'm doing a series of a five-week series on angels on Wednesdays. I did lesson two last Wednesday. I'll be on lesson three this Wednesday, Lord willing. We're going to be talking about what do angels do? What are they like? What are they doing stuff? So we're going to learn some more about angels this Wednesday. Come on out and get in that Bible study. It's good to be in church. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It's great to see each one of you. By the way, if you see my little granddaughter, Nat, Natalie Rose, she was 14 yesterday. Amen. If you see Natty, wish her happy birthday, okay? 14 years old. Boy, she's getting so big. You kids stay away from my granddaughter. I remember Tammy when she was growing up. All the boys, and I'd say, you get near my daughter. And I'd spit, and I'd actually have, I wanted to make him, like I was a madman. And Tammy cried, Dad, those guys are all afraid of you. I said, that's exactly what I want. I want them all to stay away from my little girl. I love my kids. They're my life, my grandkids. I love them. David's always talking to Natty. When she gets 18, she has to move out. He's kidding with her. I said, don't worry, Nat. If you want it, you can live with me and Grandma for the rest of your life. I haven't told Tiffy that, but I did tell Natty that. I thought Grandpa Ballard could take Tiffy. Talking all the time. I'll take one, you take one, Dave. Anyways, isn't God good? How many have got grandkids here? If you have grandchildren, aren't they tremendous? John? Yes, sir. Did she really? Amber Turner? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's great, Billy. Wow. Man, there's a lot going on in life. I got to find out. Billy's wearing pink shirts and pink ties. And Amber's getting engaged. What's going on over there in Lima? Amen. That's exciting, isn't it? That's his granddaughter. Oh, that's great, Bill. Isn't it exciting, Bill? You know, these are exciting days. They really are. We're living in a great time. We really are. And I'm glad it's good to be alive, isn't it? And all righty, Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 11. Let's stand for reading God's word. I'm glad to see each one of you here today. God bless you. I always say this, though. Bobby, if I knew my grandkids were going to be this great, I'd have had them first. I love the big kids, too, Mark. Because now I get all the grandkids' presents and stuff, and the big kids say, Dad, you're spending too much money on them. You don't spend it on us no more. I said, you had enough stuff. Now I'm going to give it to your kids. Dad, spend less on them and more on me. So, no, I'm going to give them yours too. All righty. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together. Are you in Acts 1? When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? By the way, he is going to do it, the kingdom age. It'll be 1,000 years. It's called the millennium. It's in Revelation chapter 20, and it'll be for 1,000 years, and it's going to be right. First you got the rapture coming. That's the next thing. We're going to go up in the air, 7 years of tribulation. Then we come back, and Christ sets up his kingdom. Look at verse 7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. By the way, you could mark there Matthew 24, 36. Mark Matthew 24, 36 if you do stuff like I do. I put scripture in. Matthew 24, 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Father, my Father only. Look at verse 8. But ye shall receive power after your Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Are we? We're supposed to be witnesses. Pastor Dave preached a whole message this morning on being a witness, preparing to witness for Christ. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received them out of their sight. He was just standing there, Brother Mike, and man, cool, huh? And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, hey, someone rises up in front of you, you're going to be looking, oh my. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Aren't you glad he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so, look what he says, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, thank you for a church that prayed their pastor back to health. Thank you for a great associate pastor that kept the church going for a month while I was sick. And all the deacons and the men and the teachers and everyone that did their jobs. Thank you, Father. Lord, bless us today. Holy Ghost, fill me. And Lord, use me. Help me to be a blessing to everyone here. If there be any here that doesn't know you as Savior, may they see Christ in his fullness today and receive him as their Savior. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last Sunday, I preached a message. Remember, Sunday's coming. And I just kept talking to you last Sunday about how Christ said he would die and then the third day he would raise again. Aren't you glad he did? And I shared with you, he kept reminding the disciples over and over, remember, the third day I'll rise. Remember, Sunday's coming. And you know what? We're a lot like those disciples of old. They forgot. They didn't remember that he was going to raise that third day, even though he told them. And I think many times, Brother Bobby, Christians get so caught up in their life and with the cares of the world, we forget that Jesus has already risen, Ken, but now he's gave us a different promise. Not that he's going to rise. He's already did that. He's going to return. And Tommy, just like the disciples of old, they forgot he was going to rise again. We forget, Brother Mike, that he's coming back, his return. And so we need to be careful about remembering things that Christ tells us. He said, I will return, and he is going to come back, folks. Don't forget that Jesus is going to come back. And personally, I believe he's going to come back real soon. I was talking to Stella. I think it was a couple days ago. She came by and talked to me and Rosie. And I said, Stella, even though I know there's a lot of seniors in our church, and herself being one, I said, I believe the coming of Christ is so close. I believe many of us won't even see death because the rapture is going to take us out of here. Unless you eat too many McDonald's hamburgers or something, you know. But anyways, thank God for McDonald's, D. They got the golden arches there. It's as close as heaven you can get. Amen. So we're talking. So say this with me. I need to remember. Jesus is coming back. But until he does come back, what's he doing today? What's Jesus doing today? I know he's coming back. He's promised that. And he never lies. He keeps all his promises. Well, that's my point three, Kenny. Thank you. That's point three, Ken. Amen. Good job, Kenny. You know something. What's Jesus doing today? I'm going to give you five little thoughts today. He's doing a lot more than that, but I'll give you a few thoughts. I want to share with you today while we're waiting for Jesus to come back, because he really is. Andrew, there's someday soon, the trump of God's going to blow, and we're going up. I'm not looking for the Undertaker, and boy, no, I'm really not, because I'm feeling tremendous. I think I get the sugar controlled. I think I'm going to add another 10 years of my life just being smarter by eating right and not doing being stupid. Amen. I'm done taking stupid pills, amen? And let's think about what Jesus is doing. What's he doing today? What's he doing today? I know he's coming back, but only the Father knows exactly when. And we have his promise. Brother Bobby, I'm dead dog serious and definite that Jesus is coming back. But before he comes back, Mark, he's doing things before he comes back. Let's take some thoughts about what he's doing today for you and I, and Brother Rick, on your birthday. What's Jesus doing on Rick's birthday? Well, let me give you a few. Number one, if you're taking notes. Number one, what's Jesus doing today? Number one, he's interceding for Christians. He is interceding for Christians. If you're in the book of Acts, Romans, look up one more book, Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans 8:34. Boy, I'm glad we have an intercessor. I'm glad Jesus is interceding for you and I. Look at Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Hallelujah. How many glad you got a risen Savior? Amen. Who is even at the right hand of God. One thing is, he's right at the hand of God. Who also maketh intercession for us. Man, you're not alone. Sometimes you think, well, I'm all alone in this world. You're not all alone. No, you got the Lord's with you always. And he's making intercession for you. He makes when you got saved, he made intercession for you. When you trusted him as your Savior, he's a go-between between you and God. Timothy says 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. His shed blood atoned for your sins, atoned for my sin. Man and God were separated, and Jesus is the bridge. He's the gap. You know, I was thinking, you can't help but watch, when you watch the news today, all these companies are filing bankruptcy, and I think General Motors is on the verge of filing bankruptcy, and there's all these insurance companies filing bankruptcy, and banks are filing bankruptcy. You know, this someday I might just preach on the word bankruptcy, because people can relate that, because it's in the paper and in the news every single day. Well, you know what bankruptcy is? People, they're overextended. They have too much debt, and it's impossible for them to pay it back. And see, Christians, we had too much sin debt, we couldn't pay it back. See, we were all bankrupt. And see, Jesus was our defense attorney. He represented us before the God of heaven. And he said, I'll cover all their sin. I'll cover all their debt. Amen. And he did by shedding his blood on Calvary. And by the way, you know what I've studied into? Bankruptcy, I know there's different types. But there's a type called bankruptcy 7, I think. It's called 7. Isn't that amazing? 7's God's perfect number. Amen. Now watch. You know what a bankruptcy 7 does? All sins, all debt is forgiven. Amen. It's called, I think they call it a new start or something like that. How many are with me? Say with me, listen to me. That's what Jesus does for every person that trusts him as Savior. We're all spiritually bankrupt. And he gives us all a brand new 7 new start. Hello? Can anyone say amen? Amen. He's making intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25 says he ever liveth. Hebrews 7:25 says he ever liveth to make intercession for you. You know what? I'm glad, Brother Tommy, that I've got someone watching over me, not just for my salvation. No, more than your salvation, every day of your life. You're sealed until the day of redemption. He's done that. That was finalized. I'm not worried about losing my salvation. I'm saved, sealed, and separated, and sanctified, and ready to go up. Amen. Couldn't lose my salvation if I wanted to. But it's clear. Listen to me. I'm glad he's watching over me even during every day of my life. He's interceding for me every day. You know. Listen to this. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Some of you might be going through some problems right now. Some of you might be having some heartache right now. Some of you might be facing some real big issues in your life. Can I tell you he's interceding for you? Can I tell you that Christ is interceding for you on your behalf to help you through those problems, to help you get through that day, to help you make it over that obstacle that's standing before you? The Bible says he's a God of all comfort. He's there to comfort your heart, encourage your heart, lift your heart up. Can anyone say amen? Amen. You know, not only does he save us and sanctify us and keep us and watch over, but he goes before us and stands before the Father for us. You know, I thought of Psalms 142, verse 4. We use it for salvation. I turned to my left, I turned to my right. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I'm going to tell you something. You're here today. You say, preacher, no one cares for my soul. Jesus does. Amen. Jesus cares. And there's going to be days that, look up here, you need to hear this. There's going to be days you feel discouraged. There's going to be, Miss Pam, I guarantee you, there's going to be days you're going to feel like crying, and we're going to cry sometimes. We get depressed, we get discouraged. I've never got discouraged or depressed. If you haven't pinched yourself, you're not alive. In those days, Brother Phil, God comes down and he intercedes for us. Aren't you glad about that? How many have ever been at their wits' ends? I mean, you know, you just, boy, you know, you just. I want you to see something. Look at Psalms 107. I want you to see this. Oh, this is so great. Psalms 107. Look at verse 27 to 31. Are you at your wits? Some of you might be at your wits' ends. Look up here, folks, before I read the scripture. How many of you have ever been saying, I can't take it no more. I don't know what to do. I'm at my wits' ends, preacher. Everything has failed. I don't know where to turn. How many of you have ever been there? I have too. Look at this scripture. Because there's an interceder. Jesus is there to help you. And me too. They reel, are you in verse 27? Psalms 107? They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. How many see that? How many have ever had more bills at the month than you had money? I wish I could, one man said one time, it was phenomenal, I'm paying September's bills with, what is it, David? How? That says it all, doesn't it?
Amen.
That is profound. That should be written, and that should be written down. I mean that. And then, for instance, when I was sick, sugar over 600. Man, I mean, I was really pulling in the valley just trying to live. And then, Brother Mike, you all prayed for me. Man, the sugar came down. And boy, I'm thinking, all right, I'm back again. So I started walking with Kenny. We started walking every day. What did I do? The one day Kenny don't come with me, I chipped my ankle. Chip it, and I hairline fracture. So I'm laid up again. That's not enough. Then after about a week of that, then my gout came out. And I thought, wow! I'm going blind, my toe hurts, my sugar's whacked, can't eat chocolate no more. What's the use of living? I'm telling you, I was at my wits' end. How many ever been there? But aren't you glad that when we're at our wits' end, we've got a Savior that loves us dearly, that intercedes. He comes, he says, Father, Pastor Rich is really down in the dumps. He's going through this. We're trying to show him something, that he really needs us more than he thinks. And he's going to have to start eating better, because I want him to preach to the rapture. And if he doesn't, if I don't give him the sugar now, he'll die. And so I better slow him down so the kid can smarten up a little bit. By the way, I'm in my 250s heading toward 240s. That's better than 280s. I'm glad that we have a Savior, that when we're at our wits' ends, look at that verse 27, and are at their wits' ends, and they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. That, by the way, that's about the only time we cry, is when we're in trouble. And he bring it, but look at that, and he bringeth them out of their distress. Oh, I was moaning 4 weeks ago, Mark. I was mad. Because, see, being sick to me is like losing. And I hate losing. I'm yelling, hey, God, I'm not happy. I'm glad I'm not God. I'd have killed me a long time ago. He looked down and said, that guy is nuts. Good thing he loves me. Because he's pretty stupid sometimes. But aren't you glad that we have a God, a Savior that loves us and makes intercession for us? Look at that. I cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. And he has. Thank God we have a Savior that takes us out of trouble. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Oh, I'm doing great now, Carl. Oh, man, I'm whistle while you, I'm so excited. And I'm really serious. I feel better now. I haven't felt this good in years. I mean this. I must have had this sugar all the time. I know I was sweet, but I didn't know it was that sweet, you know. Rosie always calls me honey. I know that, so I don't know. But I feel, Mom Knight, I'm telling you right now, I feel tremendous. I can't imagine if I keep losing weight and keep not being stupid and quit eating crazy food. If I feel this good, what am I going to feel like when I really get well? Isn't that exciting? Then look at verse 30. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into desired haven. Aren't you glad he always has a place of rest for us? Takes us out of the storm, a place of refuge. Aren't you glad we have? Listen, look up here. If you're going, look up here. I want everyone to look up here. If some of you are going through heartache, some of you are going through some trouble, some of you have some stress right now, some of you are worried about some things in your life. I don't know what's going on, but God knows, and he told me to tell you, he's with you. Some of you are facing some problems right now. Some of you are, maybe you're just hurting deep within your soul about some things. And you say, no one cares, no one knows. I'm going to tell you, Jesus knows and Jesus cares, and he's making intercession. Even though you might not know it, he's there and he's watching over you, and he's going to take you through this. Oh, because he does all that for us, Brother Mark, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the assembly of the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. You know what? Pastor Dave was preaching on how to prepare, even to come to church, prepare to go soul winning, things like that. You know, there's a lot of things for preparation. Praying's one. Praising's another one. There's lots of them, but another one is praise. In preparation, you need to come praising God. A lot of times people aren't prepared because they don't even praise him. Look at the scripture. It's always, when you read the book of Psalms, especially those last 10 chapters, it's all praise and praise. Even the last chapter, let everything has breath, praise the Lord. We don't, look, how many are glad you're on your way to heaven? We ought to let the world know we're excited. I don't know why Christians can't be excited. I'm excited about what I got. I was going to hell. Now I'm going to heaven. He paid for it. It was all free. I couldn't have made it. If that don't get you excited, I'm going to be on streets of gold. Hello? I can see all you. hillbillies with your shoes off. You're going to have a blast walking up there. And getting, man, look at this preacher. I'm really doing it now. West Virginia, almost heaven. Can anyone say amen? Not only that, Brother Mark, but I thought about 1 John. Now, he makes intercession. He keeps us. He keeps our fellowship alive. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is a light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know what? Look up here. Mandy, if preacher gets out of whack and I start not following the Lord like I should, it breaks fellowship. Mark, you can't lose your sonship. My boy could do something to make disappoint me, but he'll always be our son. Sonship's forever, but fellowship can be broken. Like your kid goes out and smashes a car. And they did it because they were mad. I think the fellowship's going to be broken. But he's still your son. Still your daughter. Hello? Aren't you glad we got Jesus to intercede and bring us back into fellowship? Can anyone say amen? Then number two. By the way, Jesus, thank God, Jesus every day is making intercession for you and I. Scripture says in 1 John also says, If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He keeps us in complete fellowship all the time. Number two, he is overseeing the work of the world evangelism. Number one, he's making intercession for us. Number two, he's overseeing the work of world evangelism. You know, Jesus wants every person in every nation to be saved. The Bible says it's not God, in 2 Peter 3, he says it's not God's will that any should perish. Timothy says, for this is good and acceptable sight of God, who have all men to be saved. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save them which are lost. Jesus said in Mark 10:45, I've come not to be ministered to, but to minister my life, a ransom for many. Scripture said he was a just to die for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Scripture says that so for God had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to tell you right now, you just keep reading the scriptures. Man, the whole purpose of everything for Christ being born, for Christ dying, for Christ raising, for Christ, is for people to be saved. We've been redeemed by the precious blood. And it goes on in verse 20, it says, who was foreordained before the world began. This just didn't happen by accident. It was all planned out. Pastor Dave, God had preparation for man and the plan of salvation. Now look at how good do we witness? How much are we witnessing? He wants us to witness. And by the way, did you know he's with us when we witness? Look at Mark chapter 16 real quickly. Mark 16. You say, well, I feel too alone when I go out. No, he's with us. First of all, he's put the Holy Spirit in us. If you're saved, you got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so you're never alone. But Christ is also with. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we have almost 100 missionaries. Go ye into all the world. And I wish we had 200 missionaries. I wish we had 500 missionaries. You can't send enough missionaries out. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God wants everyone to hear his word. He wants everyone to know about the story of Jesus Christ who loved him and died for him and arose. He wants the entire world, I don't care what nationality, I don't care what, he wants Castro to know it. He wants those sheiks over there in Saudi Arabia to know it. He wants everyone to know it, not just Americans. Because Jesus just didn't die just for Americans. He died for all people. Notice verse 19 and 20. Then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he's received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. All right, where is he now? Right hand of heaven, right? Watch the next verse, Mark. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them. Brother Mike, I know you like going soul winning. You witness every. I want you to know, Brother Mike, because you're a great soul winner and you witness for Christ. He loves the Lord. Every time you go, you're not going by yourself. The Lord's with you. Look what it says there. The Lord working with them. Now, don't turn to, I'll just quote it. In the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, go ye there, preach the gospel to all nations, and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And then the last part, it says, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, he's with us. He's with us. So you say, well, man, I didn't know he was there too. Yeah, he's making intercession for you. And he's actually helping you. He goes with you to help you witness to people. Because he wants people to be saved. Are you still with me? See, Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Are you doing your part to reach the lost? I wonder. He's doing his part. Are we doing our part? Do you pray for souls? Do you witness to the lost? Do you give to those, send out the word of God for missionaries and different Bibles and stuff like that? Jesus is overseeing those who are taking out the Great Commission. That's why he blesses those who will take out his word. Because that's his whole purpose, that we reach people. You see people doing the will of God, he blesses it. Taking out the word. Then, number three, what's Jesus doing today? Brother Kenny let you know, he's preparing a place in heaven for his people. What's he doing today? One, he's interceding for us. Two, he's helping us take out the Great Commission. Number three, he's preparing a place for us. Let me quote you John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, Jesus, to prepare a place for you. To prepare a place for you. To prepare a place. What's he doing? He's preparing places for us in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again on you, that where I may be, there you may be also. I'm going to tell you right now. Jesus is, I'm glad he's preparing something for us. Amen. I know they sing, I got a shack by the track. I don't have no shack by the track. My God's preparing mansions in glory. By the way, do you have that promise of a place in heaven? Do you have that promise? If you're saved, you do. If you're a washed in the blood, born-again Christian, you have that promise of Christ. Number one, he's interceding for you. Number two, he's with you as you go out and take the Great Commission out. Number three, you've got the promise that he's preparing a place for you. I'm glad about that. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 2:9. I hath not seen, 1 Corinthians 2:9, nor ear heard, neither have entered into our heart of man the things which God hath prepared. Did you get that? The things that God prepared for them that love him. Kim, the Bible says this, that heaven's so great, and what God's preparing for those that are saved, we can't even grasp it, Marie. Heaven's so great, we can't even, and Mark, you can imagine the greatest thing you want, and it still won't be as great. It's greater than that. I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Can anyone say amen? I don't know all he's got for us, Bobby, but I know one thing. It's out of this world. Number four. What is Jesus doing today? He's interceding for us. He's helping us take out the Great Commission. Number three, he's preparing a place for us in heaven. Number four, he's enjoying the Father. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That was probably about verse 1 and 2, maybe 3, somewhere in there. John 1:1. Let me read you Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30. I like this. Proverbs 8:30. I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. rejoicing always before him, the Father and the Son. Can anyone say amen? And then lastly, this is my last point. Last point. What's Jesus doing today? Number one, he's interceding for us. Right now, he's interceding for you. Number two, he's helping us take out those that take the witness out. He's helping us do the witnessing. Number three, he's preparing a place for us. Number four, he's enjoying the Father in great fellowship. Number five, what's Jesus doing today? He's waiting to come back. He's waiting to come back. Look at two more scriptures and I'm all done. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Familiar scripture. I'm ending up where I started. Remember I told you he didn't want you to forget something? He's returning. Look at chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. What's Jesus doing? He's waiting to come back. Did you know the Apostle Paul actually thought he was coming back in his time? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those people have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, you have no hope. But if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, he's coming. Hey, Christian, remember, he's coming. You know, a lot of Christians forget he's coming. They go back in the world, they live for Satan, and they forget about the things of God, and they forget all the time he's coming. And when he's come, that's why it says in 1 John, I didn't think about this. 1 John 2:28. Boy, isn't the Holy Spirit great? First John, stay right there in Thessalonians, but I'll quote this. 1 John 2:28. Little children, abide in me. So when he comes, you'll not be ashamed. I'm not quoting, I'm just giving you a parrot because I can't pull it up. He says, little children, abide in me. For when he comes, you won't be ashamed at his appearing. Brother Mike, I believe there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of Christians, because they forgot that he's returning when he comes. There's going to be a lot of Christians that are going to regret that they didn't live for him, didn't serve him. They're going to say, oh, Lord, I should have concentrated on you, and I was torn away from the things of the world. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. That's why the Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen? Notice what it says there in verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's coming. Reading, he's coming down because he's already up there. Let you know he's. By the way, Tommy, that's another reason we know he's risen. He couldn't be in heaven if he didn't raise. You got to go up if you're going to come back down. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Boy, I like shouting, don't you? I'm just practicing to get to heaven. The voice of the archangel with the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Man, we're going to be stepping on the clouds. Amen? So we shall ever be with the Lord. Because you know this truth, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These words should give Christians encouragement. One day we're going to see, it's been a few years since we lost Grandpa. Coming up on that date. But it won't be long, Grandma. We're going to see him. By the way, Grandpa's up there doing tremendous. He wouldn't want to come back. See, Grandpa's body's in the grave, but Grandpa's soul and spirit, he's up there with the Lord, and when that body's going to resurrect out of that grave, and his body and soul's going to go right, his soul and spirit's going to go right, and God's going to make a brand new body that never gets old. By the way, all of us, all that are saved are going to have that. So he got he's waiting on the rapture, Brother Mike, and then 7 years later, we're not going to turn to it, Revelation 19, he's going to come back in his revelation. And that's when he rides a white horse, and that's when you hear about the big battle of Armageddon. You read Revelation 19, 11 through, well, the whole chapter there. It talks about Christ coming back, white horses, and we'll be riding behind on white horses. And there'll be a great battle right around called Armageddon. And guess who wins? Jesus. and he puts down all the people that went against Jerusalem. Don't mess with them little Jewish people. They're the apple of God's eye. They're the apple of God's eye. Amen. And then he's going to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. We'll be with him. So really, after the rapture, we'll be with him from then on, forever. So what's Jesus doing right now? Well, he's making intercession for you and I even today. He's for those that will take out the Word of God, he's helping us take out the Word of God to reach people. He's preparing a place for us in heaven. And it's not a shack by the track. He's fellowshipping with the Father in heaven. And number five, he's waiting for the Father to say, let's go get him. Let's go get him. The trump's going to sound. Are you ready to meet him? Are you looking for him to come? 1 John 3:2 says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Are you looking for him to come? I hope you are. Let's not be like those disciples of old. they didn't remember he was going to raise. They forgot what he told them. He's told us he's coming back. That ought to be the closest thing to your heart. Every day you go get up, Lord, this could be the day that you're coming back. You know what? I think if, Brother Jack, if I could have that attitude every day, how many think it would affect our living? Lord, thank you for giving me this other day, and Lord, this could be the day. And by the way, it could be the day. This even could be the day. Right now. Do we live like he's coming? Do we love him? Do we want him to come? I know the kids are young. Ah, preacher, you got to live most of your life. Man, you know what? Look up here, kids. I'm going to help you. Well, I didn't even get to get married. I didn't do none of that, preacher. Yeah, you didn't get all the headaches either. I didn't have to counsel you on your marriages. Preacher, I don't understand her. I don't either. Don't worry. Just give her to God. Say, hey, God, thank you for her. Lord, God don't understand him sometimes. Yeah, he does. Listen to me. I'm just going to give you this. When the rapture happens, Andrew, you will not even think about this past life. Marlena, you won't even think about it, because when we're taken up in the splendor of heaven, when you guys go to Cedar Point and you're on those rides, do you think about me? No. I love it! That's how heaven's going to be on Cedar Point. And all the joy, and I can't even preach to you how great it is, because it says it's impossible. Paul said he couldn't describe it. Paul actually went up there and he said, I can't even describe it to you. Words unspeakable. Just all I can say, it's out of this world. And that when you get there, you'd never want to come back to this old world of heartache and suffering and evil. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Thank you, Jesus, for doing several things for us even today. I'm looking forward, dear God, to you coming. I pray that we'll live our day every day for you as though it's the very last day before we come and see you. I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you today, that they would trust you as Savior. And they would prepare. The prophets cried out, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And I pray that we would prepare to meet you with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How many could say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved, and if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put him down. How many of you could say and be honest with each other, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I really want to be, I don't want to miss out on heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand, put it back down. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to miss out on heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. How many say, Preacher, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been living like Jesus is coming back. Would you pray for me? I have a closer walk with God. God bless you. Yes, 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 ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would encourage us today to walk with you and to live for you and look for you. And Father, bless everyone here today. Work in each one of our lives, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.